Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest in the dance scene. How are you doing, folks? As always, it's so wonderful, so good, in fact, to spend time and to share space with you. Welcome to this dance space. Today on the show, I am so grateful and looking so forward to welcoming our guest, the absolutely awesome and wonderful Yvonne Ung, is in the house and will be with me right after this short break. So stay tuned, stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM and Turnout Radio. We'll be right back with Yvonne Ung.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Yvonne Ung, is a dancer, choreographer, presenter, producer, curator, and arts educator. She is also the artistic director and creative instigator behind Tiger Princess Dance Projects, which has been in operation since 1996. Today, she will be speaking with me about Sleeping Tucked in the Lonely Purple, a contemporary dance work which expresses the lived experiences of three senior artists, which asks the question, where or in what time space does identity reside? And if we were all given the same map, would we all arrive at the same destination? A big question, which I'm looking forward to getting into with Yvonne today. And it's all being presented at the Toronto Fringe Festival from July 6th straight through to July 17th. Join me in welcoming the absolutely fabulous Yvonne Ung back to Turnout Radio. Yvonne, welcome, welcome. So good to have you back on the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Nicole, for having me on the show. Thank you. And lovely to be back.
Woo-hoo. Oh, it's such a great pleasure. And prior to the interview, you and I were talking about the fact that this is your seventh time on Turnout Radio. And oh, aren't we blessed to get the great fortune to have you sit with us. Thank so you. Welcome
well,
back.
Thank you. I would say it's the other way around. We're blessed to have Turnout Radio. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you.
It's true. It's really true.
Oh, thank you. And I've got to say, I'm looking forward. I'm intrigued, Yvonne Ung. I'm intrigued because in reading through what we are looking forward to at the upcoming, well, today the excitement begins,
but I know.
Looking forward to what we can expect at the Toronto Fringe Festival, in particular with this work that you're going to be presenting and the questions that it asks, has my mind spinning and turning. But before we get to that, I want to ask the question, how is Yvonne? How have you been doing since we last sat down and had a great old-fashioned chat?
Well, big question, short answer. Well enough and chugging along. And, you know, it's not without life's ups and twists and turns and smooth and sunrise and sunsets and all those things. It's life. And it's, you know, I feel blessed and fortunate that I have a life and, you know, things that get, oh my gosh, I don't want this, you know, obstacles we try and make it through. And it's part of living. So pretty good. That wasn't very short.
But it was just right. It was just right. And I'm curious, in the sun rises and in the sun sets that you mention, what have you been doing in order to serve self? I love getting into this question because I always get so many wonderful, powerful, beautiful answers. But what does Yvonne do in those times of sunrise and sunset in order to take care of self?
If I tell you, then there won't be the being able to take care of yourself. No, but true, right? But no, giving myself permission to have time for me. Mm. I think that's the hardest thing, because you always feel this. Well, I do. I feel like this obligation to keep going, to fulfill the responsibilities or the things that I've agreed to do. But also, but those things, that agreement comes with also staying healthy in all aspects, which means I give myself permission to take time as well.
And I think it's so important for the taking of time, right? So mm-hmm. important, Yvonne, that taking of time and the fact that we can say the words, giving ourselves permission, mm-hmm. permission, which I think oftentimes can, well, at least in my case, I think about during the course of my career growing up, and there were times that I didn't give myself that permission. I actually thought I needed it from someone else.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yes, I often, like, you know, yes, it's taken a long time to get to this place. But yes, I would say that previously I would think I would have to wait. I'm not sure even who or what signs and what sounds I would have to wait for to be given that permission. But it's always simpler than you think. It's really you, right? Mm. You know, and it's a hard one. And taking time doesn't mean like you have to spend hours looking at the sunset. It could be, it's kind of a metaphor in a way. There's so many ways to do that for yourself. And that's something that too, that I think it's an individual experience, what yes. that means and what that's, how meaningful that is for that person. Because yes. if we often say this, Jen, oh, take time. What does that mean? And then you have your pictures of someone sitting by the river and things that like, you don't always, I don't get to sit by a river.
Yes.
But what, right. but so I, you know, what does that mean for me? How do I find that sort of image in my daily life, or not image, but that metaphor, right? And what does that mean? It could be a matter of, I'm just going to take way longer eating my breakfast, you know, or whatever it is, like walking to rehearsals. I just take a little longer or not go in right. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, we paint this picture that is unrealistic too, what taking time means too.
Absolutely. And I really think about that action of self-love whenever it is mm-hmm. that I do take those intentional moments to take a little longer mm-hmm. sipping on that tea and going for a walk and even just sitting with self, having some mm-hmm. meditation time. And so it doesn't have to be this big expansive thing that we have to do in order to serve self. It can be the little things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not putting down like, oh, going to the cottage and all that stuff and camping. I'm not putting that down. But, you know, when we live our daily lives, we still need to take that. We can't accumulate and wait for that. Right. Every day, I feel like we need to give something back to ourselves. Right.
Yes, indeed, Yvonne.
I know, which is hard.
It is. But I am not against the cottage thing. We'll talk about that too.
I know.
Maybe we need to plan a cottage visit.
Yes, I know. Anybody with a free cottage, contact us. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Well, I am very excited to talk about this question that has arisen out of the work that is going to be presented at the Toronto Fringe Festival. We're talking today about, just a few hours, Sleeping Tucked in the Lonely Purple, this contemporary dance work. And I'd like for us, Yvonne, to address this question of, if we were all given the same map, would we arrive at the same destination? And so first start off, please, by telling us what we can expect during the Toronto Fringe Festival. And then let's get into that question, because again, I'm intrigued, Yvonne. So tell us about what we'll be seeing at the festival.
I'm intrigued as well. So you'll be seeing, audiences will be seeing a dance, a live performance by three senior artists, Susan Applewhite, Susan Cuthbert, and Harold Tausch, who will be performing a contemporary dance piece that expresses their authentic selves to the audience. That's really in a nutshell. That's hopefully what they'll be seeing, and also being able to immerse themselves in that, in their journey.
Wonderful. And I want to remind our audience that from July 6th straight through to the 17th mm-hmm. is when it will be presented. And so this question that arises or has arisen from the body of this work, can you tell me what inspired that particular question to come out of mm-hmm. what we'll be seeing at the festival?
A lot of it comes from my own curiosity of how, you know, of my, the question of where is my own identity? Where do I find home? When is home? When is home? When is identity, my identity, you know, authentic to me, not just everybody else, but me? When do I feel that I am who I am? And that kind of led to, and it's all driven by that curiosity of, you know, where, for the most part, generally, you know, sort of generally, it's not speaking, we've all been given an opportunity to live, right? So that's like the map, right? We don't know what it's going to unfold. None of us know. But right. when we're given life, we are given this opportunity to kind of paint your world, so to speak. And of course, there are certain elements that are, there's certain elements that, you know, some of us have, but that living, breathing, the ability to live and breathe, to me is kind of like that map. So that kind of led to that sort of down this path, you know. And that led to the creation of the process. Really, the process is something to address. Is that each of the dancer was given the same process. So actually, I'll rewind. When I started working with the dancer, we worked with each other in isolation from each other. And, you know, of course, lo and behold, that was the start of our process, was sort of the start of when we all went into lockdown. And it kind of weirdly befitted the sort of situation. So we worked in I worked with in isolation with each dancer individually, and gave them as much as I could, gave them exactly the same process, the same improvs, the same tasks, the same, as much as possible. I tried to say the same words. I don't know, maybe like a weird, like, I'm always like science. I love experiments. So it's a little bit of an experiment. What if I said the same thing to you, you know, and I said it to three other people? How would each person take that in and be in response to, right? So that was really how that kind of went. So the map is the process. And that's I think it answers your question. I hope so.
It does. And I say that I was using the word intrigued because what I think about with this particular question of being given a map and the possible destinations, my mind goes to many different directions, but I also consider the fact as individuals moving and dancing and navigating through time and space, there are so many differences among us, from our psychological, physiological, historical differences, spiritual differences. There's so many differences between each of us as humans that mm-hmm. there, in my mind, I'm thinking, but we can't possibly end up at the same destination. But the but is, when we think about that question being provided to us and that map, what if the map, and see, this is where my mind goes, Yvonne, what if that map also meant that each of us were provided with the exact same circumstances, lived experiences? Mm-hmm. Well, then of course, the manner in which I'm thinking about the question and the answer ends with a different result, because we're all being given a map that is also represented, that also represents the exact same lived experience. And so this is why I'm intrigued by this question and curious to see how it will play out mm-hmm. on stage. And mm-hmm. so what are some of the questions and conversations that were had with the artists that are going to be presenting the work in preparing to ask this question on stage before a live audience? What were some of those conversations that happened?
Oh, you know, funny you say that. There wasn't. There was trust.
Yes.
So I'm going to take it back a little bit. Is that I have to say that part of this curiosity. So I've actually experimented with this process years ago, and then when Theatre Gargantua, they had seen that, and then they approached me, Jackie Thomas, who is the artistic director. So thank you to the generosity and her curiosity. You know, she's like, "What happens if you did this again?" Mm. Right. So I was like, "Yeah, you're right," because that was the whole idea. You know, that we. So to come back to your question, there not with these three. Previously, we had different questions. I think it's also the individuals. Not that I didn't, and I wasn't welcoming questions, but I'm glad that you brought that up. So now, looking back with Susan, Susie, and Harold, there wasn't. They just trusted the experience. Mm. They trusted that they were going to go on this journey, and they didn't know what the... I don't know. Good one. Now I'm going to ask them after the show. We just kept going, and I always left space for their questions and welcomed any questions that they had, but they never really brought this up, come to think of it. So, I mean, the thing to also be aware of is that they worked with me in isolation for a few months before they met up. So each person, by the time we worked alone, like when I worked with them for a few months alone, they each person had in a way their own solo. So by the time we all met up, each person had their own solo, if that makes any sense. And then the next stage of our process was to kind of throw all the solos together and see what happens.
And enter
that other world.
Right.
Enter that world and also see what would come out of, shake it in the jar, see what comes out, see what bothers them, see what, actually with this, I don't know, maybe it's just who they are and the experiences that they've had. Because previously, there were lots of questions, like when I did it previously, years ago, right, with a different group of younger artists. There were lots of curiosity, lots of questions, a bit of cynicism and skepticism around this, but not this group. And I think that's kind of a curious thing. Now you're also encouraging me to think about the observation from that group to this group. And now I'm curious to try it again. And see what comes up.
Well, when you have that conversation, please come on back to Turnout Radio, because I'd love to continue to keep exploring that and what some of those conversations were in preparation to have that conversation on stage.
I wonder if it's because, you know, this group of artists, they're actors, acting is where they've spent their career, building their career. They've had some dance training and dance background, but they're actors who I've asked to dance. Yes. And but also they've had a really long lived experience, and perhaps it's just where they are in their lives, like perhaps there's more willingness and more openness to just like, let's go into the unknown. It's okay. I'm not sure, come to think of it. I don't know. I'm trying not to be ageist either, you know, right. But perhaps it's the fact that they've also lived a different experience of life, that because individually that never came up. Maybe they had those discussions without me, because that's another thing that I found, and I've kind of suspected that with both times that I've done this, is that the artists themselves, I think, become closer. There's a bond, because there's a strange commonality, you know. I am going to ask them now.
Well, you know my number, Yvonne. So yeah, I would love to hear the response to that as well. And it's been so wonderful exploring with you this question and the idea of the many answers that it can it can present. And so with just a few more hours prior to the festival beginning, we are so excited to come and witness this conversation again taking place on stage. Yvonne, before you go, any last words that you'd like to share with our audience in preparation for the festival?
Come in comfortable shoes.
Yes.
Comfortable clothing. Buy a pass or buy the passes, and have an open mind. It's an art feast, and give yourselves time in between to absorb, to have the works resonate in different ways, and let it sit with you. Yeah. Yes. Don't oversee too many shows, even though, like, all in a day. Sometimes it's like watching too many movies in a day when you binge. It's like suddenly it's like, whoa. Give yourself time in between. Yeah, enjoy. And looking forward to see you all. And if you come, you ask Susan and Susie and Harold those questions. I'm curious too. And I love, Nicole, your observation and your summary of all the, like, you know, the process as well, and the questions and where it leads your mind to go. I think that's part of also making the art, is to hear and to also be in receiving, you know, others' lens approach, and also your thinking around all of this, because it opens up it blows my mind too. I'm like, right, I never really thought about it that way.
Well, this is what I love about exploring, right? That we do get to open up those questions with one another. And you are such a wonderful person to do it with. Yvonne, let me tell you, we've got so much love for you. We do. Thank you so much for the joy that you bring to Turnout Radio. I'm excited. I'm excited to see you, and excited to, again, explore more on this conversation and other things. We've got so much. We always have so much to talk about, Yvonne, but thank you. Such a pleasure.
Thank you, Nicole.
Always to share space with you.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you for your really your presence and just your openness and all your wonderful questions. Thank you. And we'll see you hopefully at the festival.
Yes, at the festival. Yeah. And it's fringing. My pleasure. We're going to fringe, Yvonne. We are going to fringe.
Definitely are. We are.
Well, thank you again, thank Yvonne. You. And to all of you, if this is Yvonne Ung, make sure get out, take an opportunity to see all of the dance performances and, of course, Sleeping Tucked in the Lonely Purple, contemporary dance work by Yvonne Ung. And make sure and visit, for tickets and more information, make sure and visit fringetoronto.com. We're looking forward to seeing you again right here on Turnout Radio. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. And Yvonne, enjoy the day. We've got love for you. Enjoy the day.
Same here. Thank you. And enjoy the day too.